Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today is Wednesday, March 11th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today, we're reading from the Big Book in the chapter Working with Others, and we are on page 96, paragraph 2, which begins with, suppose now you're making your second visit. Today's readers are Patty T. with the 12 Steps, Martha M., the 12 Traditions, Leslie W., Terry S., and Penny L. C. Kara L. will greet newcomers and get sponsors, available sponsor phone numbers, and Leslie W. will close us out with some important announcements today. Reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for March 10th, Tuesday, is 14236. That's 14236. And the reference number for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Wednesday, March 11th, 2020, is 14237. That's 14237. EOA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fit tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Patty T. to read those 12 steps.
Hi, Elaine. Thank you so much for your service. This is Patty T. from Southern California and the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me be of service.
Thank you very much, Patty T. And I will now ask Martha M. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, Elaine. This is Martha M. from Connecticut. I'm a compulsive under and overeater recovering. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for your service, Elaine, and have a great day.
Thanks so much, Martha M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted using star 1, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter Working with Others on page 96. And we're going to be reading and commenting on paragraph 2. And I'll now ask Leslie W. to please begin reading.
Thanks, Elaine. Hi, my name is Leslie W. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee. Suppose you are now making your second visit to a man. He has read this volume and says he is prepared to go through the 12 steps of the program of recovery. Having had the experience yourself, you can give him much practical advice. Let him know you are available if he wishes to make a decision and tell his story, but do not insist upon it if he prefers to consult someone else. Okay, so, these are just common sense. I feel like this is just very common sense directions here, don't push, don't prod. Make yourself available, give some practical advice, do not insist that he talks to you and do it your way. I mean, we've been talking about this a lot, about how we don't barge our way like a bull in a china shop into someone's life. And this is a very personal thing. Most people are really uncomfortable talking about this. This issue with other people, even their fellow compulsive overeaters. It's very important that we tread lightly, almost like we're dealing with a surly teenager at this point, because this person, this prospect, however we talk to them, however we engage them, whether it be they call us, we run into them at a social function, they ask us questions. I mean, people ask me questions all the time about how I eat, why I do the things that I do. Most people don't pull out a scale at a restaurant and weigh their food. I do. So naturally, people are curious. And even those that we think, we can think that they might be like us, but we have to be so careful about making sure that we don't try to make that decision for them. the whole point of why I do what I do is so that, I can be a person of attraction rather than promotion. You know, if people are drawn to me, they see something that they like, they see, they may be curious, you know. And then so I have to prayerfully go into that conversation and very tenderly, very cautiously open that dialogue with them. And I have to be in a really good connection with my higher power, with God, for him to speak to me and tell me, okay, you've said too much, or maybe you can tell them about this. So it's a constant dance, right? It's an ebb and flow that goes on. And it is an art. It really is. It's an art form. So, and it's a learning process. I'm not going to do it perfectly. Sometimes I'm going to mess up and say things that I shouldn't. And that's just part of learning. That's just part of it. So with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Leslie W. Okie dokie. Who would like to comment on that second paragraph on page 96?
Stacey J.
Melanie M.
Irene B. I hear somebody, but it's coming through really fuzzy. Okay, I've got Stacy L, I believe, Melanie M, Irene B. Anybody else want to share?
Mazel P.
Roz G.
Okay, Roz G, and room for one more.
Mazel P, you got me now.
I got Margot P. And I got room for one more.
Penny LC.
Penny LC. All right. Delightful lineup. Thank you. Thank you, ladies. Okay. Stacy J, Melanie M, Irene B, Margot P, Roz G, and Penny LC. Starting with Stacy J. There you go.
Thanks so much. This is Stacy J, recovered food addict in Toronto, Canada. This paragraph, it outlines things a little differently than I work with sponsees, and I work with sponsees the way I was brought through these steps, which was I was asked after I approached a sponsor. No, you know, no one approached me. I approached them, and they asked me to read the doctor's opinion and listen to a podcast of my choice about that in our special editions, and then schedule a conversation, and we talked about it. And there's so much in that paragraph alone that in conversation with my sponsor that, it was clear to me that I had the physical allergy and the mental obsession with food. When I talk to prospective sponsees, you know, there are people who are not sure yet that they have the physical allergy. They're not sure. Sometimes they're not sure if they're one of us. And, or I might not be the right person for them. And that becomes clear, I think, pretty quickly. So I share my experience just as my sponsor shared their experience. And it becomes clear, but I do no convincing, just as my sponsor certainly didn't need to convince me. The food convinced me 100%. And if the sponsee wishes to make a decision to continue on, then we do. And in my case with my sponsor, Wild Horses couldn't have held me back from going ahead because I felt that this person had what I wanted. They had neutrality with food, which is something I hadn't had in a long, long time, and if ever. And I, you know, the food convinces us, and then this person leads the way of what neutrality with food is like, and what I, as a food addict and compulsive overeater, have to do in order to achieve that, which, according to our book, is through means of a spiritual awakening, you know, physical abstinence, working the steps to bring about a spiritual awakening and a psychic shift. And I'm so grateful that this book outlines, you know, that it has to come from the individual. It can't come from the sponsor. And that has certainly been my experience on both sides of the dialogue. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Stacey J. Melanie M., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Irene B.
Hi, this is Melanie M. from Atlanta. Good morning, everyone. It's been a while.
Hi, Melanie. You're sounding a little different, distant. I'm not sure if there's an adjustment you could make on your mic.
Good morning. This is Melanie M. Is that better?
Much better. Thank you so much.
Okay. No problem. So, yeah. So, for me, what this is a great reminder of is how I got attracted to the program and readiness and willingness. And one of the things that I know for sure is that I think there's only been one or two people who have gone to an OA meeting after they've come to me and asked me what I did. But one thing I do know for sure is that I planted a lot of seeds, because people don't want to hear that. You know, they see that I lost weight or whatever. Of course, they want the quick fix. And when I tell them that, you know, I dealt with the spiritual side and some other things, it's like, but what did you do? And so I just share and leave it alone, because I know that for me, the seed was planted. And so this has been a really good conversation for me over the last couple of days, because for me it was in layers, and I came out of a relapse, and I had to do that in layers as well in terms of my willingness to do different things. So I really appreciate this conversation. Really appreciate you all's programs, and that's what keeps this meeting strong. Even though I haven't been on the meeting in a while, it's good to know that it's been going strong. So thanks a lot. This is Melanie M. signing off from Atlanta.
Thanks so much, Melanie M. Irene B., you are up next, and you're followed by Margot P.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. I'm Irene B., a very gratefully recovering bulimic from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Oh, my goodness. I am so happy to be able to share something that is very important to me and my recovery. I went to 4 inpatient eating disorders programs, 4 outpatient eating disorder programs, but of all of that, only the first eating disorder program that I went to was run by somebody who was a bulimorexic, alcoholic, and chemically dependent. She was an addict like me. So she understood. All the other programs were run by people who had intellectual knowledge, and they were freaking clueless. None of those programs did anything for me, because they had no idea. They had book knowledge, but they didn't have any ESH, experience, strength, and hope. They had none of it. They couldn't relate to me. They didn't understand. They had no clue. You know, if you spot it, you got it. If you don't got it, you don't spot it. That's really what it boils down to. And I am so grateful that we get to stand on the shoulders of giants, because Bill knew about the allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind, but he knew nothing of the spiritual process. And then Eddie came to tell him about it. And they joined hands, and between the two of them, they came up with this wonderful program that we're so privileged to pursue and to give us healing and recovery. And when I came to Vision, I heard that we eat because of the buildup of human emotion. And then I exploded with joy, because that was the synthesis of what I knew, but I didn't know. But if you spot it, you got it. And now we know. And that's the way it was for me. It was all about emotion. And in the first eating disorder program that I went to, we dealt a lot with irrational beliefs and cognitive distortions and how to refute them. And that was the cornerstone of my recovery, because for me, my brain, my thinking was, that's where my illness lies, in the lies that I tell myself But then I did some research on my own over the years, and I came to find out that our emotions come from our thinking. It's not what happens to us, but what we tell ourselves about it, how we interpret it. And that's where cognitive distortions come in. And Lord and behold, it's like we know the allergy of the body. We know it's all in the mind, and the emotions come from the mind. And how do we deal with the emotion? We follow the steps. Yes, I'm going to wrap it up. And we do the turnaround that, for me, my turnarounds are based on program, but I also add and identify what cognitive distortion am I using here? What lies am I telling myself? And that is so helpful to me. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Irene B. Okay, Margot P., you are up next, followed by Roz G. Margot P., star one to unmute, please.
Hi, it's Margot from Florida, abstinent all the way. Thank you, everyone, to be on this call. For me, when this book was introduced to me, as being a Latina, I didn't understand what it means. Like, what? I'm not an alcoholic. Wait. And so I had to And I had someone who bought it to me at the time was a gentle, humble person. What it brings to me, they have to bring it to me like I can bring it to another person with a humble, gentle, and explaining, not giving the book like throwing it to the face, say, you got to read this book. And that's what I did. I did do that to my people out there. And I was like, what? And they didn't get it. They didn't get it. And understanding that this is a gentle program. Some may get it, some may don't. And understanding that they will come back to you when they really get it. And my experience is having, like, not to advise, not to give a harsh suggestion, just listen, be available, and give it a number if they decide to call you. And that's how, for me, how it worked, how it's one day at a time. And for, I remember when I told my sponsor, I'm not an alcoholic, how can I read this book and then change it? And she said, all you have to do is switch the word to food addict. And then in the obsession on the mind, I didn't understand that. And that's why I have to explain to people like that. There's an allergy. And what allergy? And I had to explain to them like it was explained to me. And so this is how I've been hearing it. And this is how I've been reading it. And this is how I've been told about how can I pass the message on a loving, kind way. And so, and sometimes my people will get it, sometimes they don't. But I'm just going to let God and continue doing my part of my program and continue doing my part of being abstinent and following my food plan and calling my sponsor and sending her my meal plan. In doing service, going to meeting, I opened up a Spanish meeting, but that was not successful. And so, you know, Mahali was suggested, keep trying, don't give up. And I like his encouragement. So I love the kind of passion that I get from everyone in the program. Say, don't give up, just keep going forward. So this will pass. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Margot P. Roz G., you're up next. You'll be followed by Penny LC, and we'll take another lineup on the reading on page 96, paragraph 2. Suppose now you're making a second visit. So please go ahead, Roz G.
Good morning, Elaine, sweet Elaine, beautiful friend. My name is Roz G., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California, just getting ready to step into work. But there's a couple things I wanted to point out for me, and that is the word practical advice. You know, I'm in the other program. I'm in the relationship program, and boy, do they, we you know, years and years of we don't give advice. Yet the big book here says, you know, we have some practical advice to give. So what kind of advice do I give? I pray that the advice that I give are prayed through, when I talk to sponsees, I try to start the conversation with the serenity prayer and asking God, you know, that set aside prayer, so that the suggestions and the advice are not coming from what I think they should do versus my experience, because, of course, it says here, having had the experience. And I'm telling you, I can give you all kinds of advice and tell you the way I think you should live your life, but that's going to turn out to be a big disaster if it is not based on my experience and prayer. Another thing here is that, you know, I'm very sensitive. We alcoholics, we compulsive overeaters are very sensitive people. And if, you know, someone consults somebody else instead of me, you know, it just ruins my day. It did. I've learned and I'm learning and I pray that, you know, we all have something to give. The ground is level here at the 12 steps. The ground is level. We all have experience, strength, and hope to share. And, you know, somebody else is going to have something to say that's going to connect with that person. And I'm glad to tell people, you know what, I don't have that experience, but I know so-and-so that does. And I pass along, I get permission, and I pass along their number. And to me, that gives space, room for humility and to say, you know, I don't know everything, but I sure do have the pain, the experience of pain and having to get to a point of my life being pretty badly mangled so that I could accept the spiritual help that this book offers. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Roz G. Okay, Penny L.C. is up next, and then we'll take another lineup for the reading on page 96, paragraph 2. Please go ahead, Penny L.C. Star 1 to unmute, Penny.
Yes, thank you, Elaine. I'm sorry, I was trying to unmute, and I think I missed my cue. Thank you. This is Penny L.C., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And in reflecting on this paragraph, I'm thinking back. I know that this was my second visit, so I've already had a chance to outline the program, to share some of my experience with that, and then leave the big book and ask the candidate to read the book. So, you know, the groundwork has been laid, and and there's the example of what, you know, what can I do to open that door even further? And what I know is that they've offered me back to visit with them a second time. They evidently are interested and willing to a certain degree. So it's a chance to see how willing they are to actually begin with step one and share my experience of understanding what it is to be powerless, and that when I try to control my life is unmanageable, absolutely. And try to see where the prospect can relate to that, and see if they can pick up on their own story and start to realize how their life is unmanageable and they are powerless to this disease, and being able to have that discussion, you know, to be able to help them see they really maybe could benefit from this program. But it's never a push. It's always just an open-handed offer. And, you know, at any time, if they decide not to go forward, that's fine. You know, like others have said, we just share what we've experienced. We share our recovery process. We share the hope that we have, the hope that we needed so badly when we first came broken to the doors of 12-step programs, and to find out that there was a possibility, there was a way perhaps that we could see it worked for others and that perhaps it could work for us. But first, drilling down on that powerlessness is so important to be able to go on from there. And they speak about willing, you know, whether they're willing to make a decision. Well, that decision, that step three, pivotal decision. But working up to it with step one, working into it to discover if they are believing that there's a higher power for them, and then if they're willing to turn their will and their life over. And beyond that, we can start to talk about their story, the inventory. But it's all a process. It starts with step one. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Penny LC. Who'd like to comment on page 96, paragraph 2?
Bruce.
Sharon K.
I heard Bruce. And Sharon, Karen?
Sherry KB.
Sherry KB.
Sherry Josie.
Sherry Josie.
Ricky M.
Ricky M.
Patty T.
One more. And Patty T. Okay, this is what I've got. I've got Bruce E. I think it was Sharon. Sherry KB. You should see my handwriting. Sherry Josie, Ricky M, Patty T. If I didn't get you quite right, have mercy. Okay, so we've got Bruce E followed by Sharon. Please go ahead, Bruce.
Yeah, this is Bruce E, and I am a recovering food addict down in Southwest Florida. And not only recovering on the food, but recovering from neck surgery 8 days ago. And I just think that maybe that doctor made a mistake, and instead of putting new discs in my neck, I think he put something new in my shoulder, because my shoulder's killing me. But I'm getting through it, and I'm getting through it abstinently. And I love this reading here. It's the second visit, and it says he is prepared. He's read the volume. And he's prepared to go through with the 12-step program of recovery. So this guy's already come a long ways. I mean, he's done a whole lot more than I did when I first got in. Anyway, but it says, having had the experience yourself, you can give him much practical advice. So we're in a position to really help people. We really are, because we've been having this experience. And let him know you are available if he wishes to make a decision. Well, you know, I've been thinking about this. If you read it, I mean, what decision is it? Well, it must be either decision to do the steps or to accept the higher power. But you don't know about the higher power part, but assume he's willing to do the steps. And it says, and in addition to the decision, tell his story. So I've worked with quite a few people along the way here that I never did know their story. You know, they never got their story out. They never brought too much out of the closet, you know, and I didn't know their story. So I have to be willing, though, to share my story, of course. And then it says here, now this is where the ego comes in, but do not insist upon it if he prefers to consult someone else. So, man, this thing with this ego thing has really been tough the whole entire time I've been in this program, but especially with working with somebody new, because here I've gone to all that trouble with him. I've given him the volume. He's read it. He's ready, says he's ready to do the program. But then it may turn out that he prefers to consult someone else. Maybe he's got another program out there that he wants to try first, you know, and see if that works for him. And maybe it will work for him. And so, but my ego, I got to remember to check my ego at the door, because my ego always gets in there. And I think I've got the answer. I think I know it all, you know. I think I've got the corner on all the ideas concerning food addiction, and he ought to go with what I'm throwing out there. But he might wish to consult somebody else. If he does, don't push it. Just let him go consult somebody else. And if that works for him, that's great. If that doesn't work, he'll come back, most likely. And so I think this is telling us a lot here, and it's telling me a lot that I got to learn. I got a long ways to go yet. So glad to be on the phone. Thank you, everybody. And I pass.
Thanks so much, Brucey. Sharon, may we have the first initial of your last name? You'll be followed by Sherry KB.
Yes. Sorry. Yes. It's Sharon K from Canada.
Okay, great. Please go ahead.
Thank you. And thank you for your service. I cannot imagine trying to collect all those names. It feels so overwhelming to me. I really like the sentence about a practical advice from your own experience. I find this really helpful, particularly because I have I have been a chronic relapser in the past, and I find there's a lot of people that are coming and wanting sponsors who have been through relapse. And I find it really helpful to talk about what I did wrong in relapse, even though I was trying to do the steps really thoroughly. So I specifically talk about the last half of step one. You know, it took me a long time to realize just how unmanageable my life was because of food, and how I really needed to get that, because just being skinny isn't enough motivation to do the work, even though, you know, I did the first half of step one 30 years ago, and it took me a lot of time. And the second thing is, I could not sidestep the God part. I tried to do the steps without God. Like, I would write out my four steps. I would do my nine steps. I would do everything. But I was trying to just do the work like a schoolbook exercise. So mostly I just feel like the more I emphasize the mistakes I made as I tried to do the program, and the things that I did that caused me to relapse over and over again, I'm finding right now that that's really helpful to people in deciding and choosing for themselves. So thank you for listening.
Thank you so much, Sherry KB. You are up next, and you'll be followed by Sherry Jo C. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Elaine. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. I'm very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for your service, Elaine, and Team Wednesday, and everybody on the line. And welcome home, everybody. Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous. This is a great meeting. You know, that's what I read here, is that, you know, since I have the experience myself, and I can give him or her much practical advice, I know that when I've talked to people and they go back and they're thinking about it, and then they come back and tell me they think they're ready, and then I tell them some more about what, you know, exactly how I do this and what I've done, what I've been through, the errors and mistakes I've made through thinking I could take shortcuts and everything, wanting it, you know, just the fast, easy way, the easier, softer way, you might say, and that it didn't work for me. And that, you know, if they're interested, I'd be more than happy to help them. But I'm not going to insist that they, you know, work with me if that's not what they prefer. And I would never do that. I would just feel like that I trust God around all this, and that I really believe that God brings me the people God wants me to work with. And I would just, you know, say, well, you know, honestly, it's like, you know, if they said something like that, I'd say, well, you know, I'm happy. I hope you find, you know, the one your higher power wants for you. That's really how I feel about it, because I might not be a good fit for everybody, and if I am, that's not good either, because we all are garden variety the way we do this. But also, I know I just follow the directions in this book, because they're wonderful, and if I follow them precisely, God will bring me the people I'm supposed to work with. And I don't take it personally. I think that's real important. If they decide to go with somebody else, it's not about me. It's like I really believe that their higher power is guiding them to the person they need, and get support from. And I've worked with a lot of people who've been around for years and years and years, and there are different stories about how they either worked all the steps or didn't really get step one or step two, and we get to talk about that. And so I know we're garden variety compulsive overeaters, and I think there are garden variety sponsors too, and I just think it's finding the right fit for you and how it feels. And with that, I pass. Thanks, Elaine.
Thank you, Sherry KB. Sherry Josie, you're up next. And you're going to be followed by Ricky M.
Good morning. This is Sherry Josie, recovered compulsive eater in Southern California. Thank you so much. So this this section is, I relate to it so much because this is almost exactly what happened to me. I mean, I think that, you know, now that there are so many more meetings than there were at the time the big book was written, a lot of times this first encounter and the second encounter happens at meetings. I know it had probably been 6 or 7 years since someone had first suggested OA to me, but it was just an idea then, and it was an idea that I had rejected. And then when, over the course of those 6 or 7 years, when the disease took me down to my knees, I became willing to seek out what had been suggested to me. And this is exactly what happened to me. I went to my first meeting. I was still drunk on food. I was in a daze. I was devastated by compulsive eating. And I heard a woman there say, and I identified or wanted to identify with what she said, I heard her say that she hadn't had sugar in 5 years. And that part, you know, interested me, I guess. I thought, well, I could probably do that if I was tied to a chair. But then I heard her say, and she didn't even want it anymore. And that was the part that hooked me. And that was the part that intrigued me in my quote-unquote first meeting, which was actually a meeting, not a meeting with a single person. And I took the big book home with me, just as what is described here. I read the first 164 pages. I identified with everything. I wondered to myself, how do these people know who wrote this book, what's going on in my head, in my life? And I especially identified with, here are the things we tried, because I had tried all of them. And I remember, and I still have my big book, I got out a pen and I wrote food where it said alcohol, and I wrote all the things that I had tried to try to control my illness. And I also read the brown book, the old brown book, where it said we ate to sate the fears. You know, we procrastinated, we hid, and we ate. It was more than just a mere love of food. I identified with that too. And so that was what happened after my first quote-unquote meeting, and I made the decision to begin, and I went back to OA. I found my home group, the Back to Basics Abstinence Meeting in Detroit, Michigan, and they talked about how compulsive eating was the siren song of the disease and focused on abstinence as the first step. And then I found my sponsor, and she had exactly what I wanted. She was such a lovely person and had serious, hardcore, back-against-the-wall commitment to abstinence, and I really needed that. And so what I try to remember when I'm reading, you know, this chapter, when I'm working with someone new, is that, you know, just
like,
thank you. Just like the big book tells us that, you know, we've been in full flight from reality. They've been having the bedevilments, the prey to misery and depression, and it's one surrender after another, even from that first meeting to the second. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Sherry Jo C. Ricky M., you're up next, and our final share will be Patty T. Please go ahead, Ricky.
Hi, this is Ricky M. in Philadelphia. Wow, I really like this reading today. What I keep saying and I keep feeling, we're available to talk to people, and people are available to talk to us, but it's really hearing the right things from the right people that get us going. It doesn't, you know, everybody's on their own journey. I think of it as parenting. Everybody parents different, and there's no right or wrong way. You know, you can't mom shame if someone can't, you know, breastfeed, but, you know, just support everybody's decision. And I think it's the same thing in program. Everybody is at a different place and they need to hear different things. So if somebody asks me questions and I answer based on my experience, and then they get upset, what do you mean? I can't eat this anymore. And I look, you know, I was the first time that happened, I'm looking at this person and I'm like, I don't know what to say. I didn't say you can have it. I'm just sharing my experience. But I think that's the reaction of where that person's at. So for me to lovingly step aside and say, you know what, when that person's ready, I'm here. I don't have to say yes or no. That person will just hear what they need to hear when they're ready for the recovery that they're ready for. I found with my experience that I came into a room, started with a sponsor, and she's like, I don't tell people what to do. She wasn't, at that point, I was just getting abstinent, and I, you know, gave her over my food. She wasn't working me through the steps. That's not where she was at. And she was telling me to find my own way to work through it. I didn't quite know what she was talking about. But eventually when I did start working, I was ready. I started working the steps with the right kind of sponsor that worked well for me. So that when someone comes to me and says, can you work with me? Sure, I can give you what I have. Because at the end of the day, every person needs to take their experience. They need to take their recovery. No one can give it to them. A sponsor can't make them recovered. They need to find it, and they need to experience it on their own with help and support from a sponsor. So what you say is really not important. It's the person willing to listen and say, I want what you have, and I'll do what you say. You know, just tell me what to do, and I'll do it, because they want it that badly. Because you can't want it for somebody else. You need to, you know, be there lovingly. Just say the right words, because at the end of the day, God gives you the words. Your higher power says to you what you should say. You know, I was so nervous to sponsor. What am I going to say? How can I say? I need a structure. I need to give me the structure, and I'll follow it. And I realized, forget structure, out the door. God will tell you what to say, and every day is another experience. It's the biggest gift to be able to be available, just to be an example for people when before they're ready, and to be there for them when they're ready, and just to, you know, when they're ready. And if they're not ready, that's okay too. With that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Ricky M. Okay, Patty T, you're our final, you are our final share for today. Please go ahead.
Oh, thank you, Elaine. Thanks, everybody, for these great shares. Gosh. I'm Patty T from Southern California, recovering daily by the grace of God. And, you know, this thing where it says you can give them much practical advice, I have to be really careful with that for myself, because I was raised by an advice giver. And I have realized during my program and as a result of sponsoring that advice giving can lead me right smack into my ego, and then it's the blind leading the blind again. so what I can say though is that my experience in this program has shown me that it's a very practical program. And I can share my experience about that how practical it really is, how practical becoming honest is. You know, I am that person who says, what do you mean I have to give that up? I can't eat that. That's who I am. But my whole life, I've never wanted to be honest about that fact. And I've never wanted to say that out loud to someone else. I just thought it, right, and rebelled internally, which has always brought me back to the food. But my program teaches me that I can pray to be willing. I can pray to be honest. And just this past week with my own sponsor, I was able to be honest about some feelings around food that, you know, I can see today are not normal. That kind of relationship with food is not normal. But until and unless I was able to be honest, I couldn't move forward. So in the beginning here, on the second visit to the person, after they've read and come to think, okay, maybe this will work for me, I'm really a sounding board. I am here to listen to them and to share my own experience, and that's all. I cannot give advice because I don't have enough knowledge ever to tell someone how to do it. I can only say what I've done. And, but you know what? It's so great because we find our truths together, and that's what's important. Whether it's a sponsor or a fellow, everybody is my guide. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you for your share, Patty T. And thanks everybody who shared and came and listened and did service. Awesome, awesome, awesome. We're now going to transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Terry S. please read a vision for you?
Good morning. This is Terry S. Can I be heard?
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Hi. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
we realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.